Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media. And today, with our power woman, Rachel Brown, who is our founder and CEO of Jewish Matchmaking New York. What a wonderful career to bring love to people's lives. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing merit, I feel, to be able to be doing, to be a matchmaker in New York City. It's really fabulous.
They say if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And if there ever was a community of Jewish people, it's here in New York. How did you get started with this wonderful business of bringing love into people's lives?
Well, it's so interesting. I was a jewelry designer and I sold my business after 18 years. And I was thinking to myself, what's next? What's next for Rachel Brown? And, you know, as I was pondering that, you know, I have a friend that's a matchmaker in Palm Beach. She was sending me people that only wanted Jewish people. She said, Rachel, you have a huge network of people. I'm going to send you these people, find the matches. So I said, okay. So I just started finding people matches. And they were successful. And I didn't really think anything of it until one day I got a phone call and the voice on the other end said, hello, is this Rachel Brown, the matchmaker? So I said, yes, it is. I just automatically, and I heard myself say those words, yes, it is. So then I thought, and then I hung up the phone and then I thought, this is it. I guess I'm a matchmaker. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. Let me make this a business. And it just, from there, everything really started, you know, fairly rapidly without me really even doing that much, actually, which surprises me. Being an entrepreneur, I mean, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. And I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I feel like I haven't really done that much. It's all just sort of formulated itself. And I'm just sort of the channel for this movement that's going on right now.
Well, what brought you to this, do you think? Was it just circumstance or was it something that had lit up your life with making a match?
Well, I mean, it brings me a lot of joy. And I feel like I have very good intuition with people and I have a giant network in New York and it just kind of seems a natural calling, but I feel like it actually really is a calling and I feel like I'm really meant to do this. It's something that I feel like I actually did not choose. I feel like it actually chose me and I'm just sort of pursuing the path that I feel that I'm really meant to be on and I'm just naturally successful at it. And it's, you know, not even really, like I said, I'm not really even trying. I just am. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm happy that I can help people meet their wives, help people meet their husbands, help people be in long-term committed relationships for the people who aren't looking for marriage. So it's very satisfying.
So give me an example of who was, is there a number one? Was there a first person that you helped?
Yeah, I got a call from a gentleman one day and he said, you know, my daughter is very depressed. All of her siblings are married. She's all alone. I don't know what to do. This was actually, I just got this from Facebook. You know, can you please help me? We had a number of conversations and I said, you know, I don't take on women as my clients. It's men. Men are my clients. Men are the ones that pay. Women are complimentary. And he said, I would really like to retain you because I want you to focus on her. So that's what it started with. It started with that one client. And again, it was just a phone call. That's what I'm saying. I didn't really do anything. Things just sort of, I just got this phone call and it just kind of went from there.
What do you look for when you bring people together? What's the recipe for success?
The recipe for success, I would say, is really, you know, I would say it's really my intuition. Because a lot of times the check marks don't check with, you know, the boxes on each side. They actually don't. A lot of it's just intuition. I mean, I would like to be able to say this person goes with this person and this is why. And there is some logic to it, but a lot of it's, I really honestly go by the seat of my pants and it's really nothing else. I mean, of course, people have the requirements for, you know, for age and for height and all these other things and, you know, different level of like religiosity, which I, of course, I take that into account. But a lot of it's really my gut. It really is.
That's a way to run a business with your gut. Wait a second.
I know. Well, I'm used to being, you know, I ran my jewelry business like that. I mean, every day was unknown and I always went by the seat of my pants. So that's my norm. So that's not even like, that's not out of my comfort zone. It's just how I'm constructed. So that's just what I do.
That's fabulous. So how do you find the men that come to you? I mean, how have you grown it? Because this is I think since millennial, there's been a matchmaking. There was no such thing as free choice years ago. Families matched people. And then it went out of favor. But now I think it's back.
No, it's true. I hear all the time people are so sick of the apps and they're not meeting anyone from the apps. They actually use the word hate. They say they hate the apps, they're not meeting anybody. But the issue is choice paralysis. There's so much choice out there that people end up becoming frozen and they actually end up doing nothing. Then it's actually they're not meeting anybody. So it's like this overabundance actually leads to like no dates. I mean, it's really crazy. So people are looking for alternatives. So an alternative is a matchmaker because, the abundance of apps is not getting anywhere. It isn't getting anyone anywhere. So it's very timely, actually.
Well, when you have the, in many of these services, it's the women that pay, not the men. So I'm fascinated to see how you get the men to pay and then you find the women that match them. That's a very different twist on the matchmaking.
Well, I go by what the Torah says, and the Torah, this is a Jewish matchmaking service. This Torah says that it's the men's responsibility, for the woman in the marriage. They need the woman for what the Torah says is their tikkun, which is their correction. So a man needs a woman in his life to fulfill his highest soul's mission, and he also needs children. So it's really for him and really mostly for his benefit. And the Torah says that the women are really here on a volunteer basis. So we don't really need to be married. Our souls already corrected. We're much higher souls, and we're here to serve them, to help them along their journey. So by that, in that way, they need to pay.
So, how did you get your first client?
The first client was a phone call. It was just a phone call, like a random phone call, from a man looking for his daughter. That was a random phone call. But I guess it wasn't random. He saw a posting on Facebook, something like that. But that's it all, like I said, it all just kind of happened without me doing much. So when things
Love it.
happen magically like that, which doesn't happen for most people, myself, either, that it's from God, it's from the light, it's a gift, because it's when something's just kind of going and you feel you're channeling, like I said, this has been growing, and I'm not doing that much. And now I'm starting to get phone calls from Jewish lesbians, Jewish gays, asking me if they can find, if do I have anyone. So now I'm starting a roster for that. I never in a million years would have thought about that. But, they say all these people are saying after October 7, they feel they only want to be with Jewish people, and can I help them? So I've been saying, yes, we can help you. We just got a roster. But so that's how we're building our Jewish community, with the gays and lesbians right now.
Interesting. Well, we own Gay City News, so if you need any extra news about it, let me know.
Okay.
That's one of
I'll
our media outlets, but I do think that
keep that in mind.
you mentioned something about coaching. So can you share some coaching ideas with our listeners to be able to, when you are introduced to somebody, are there some rules of the game, things that you found are successful for people when they get connected?
Well, I tell people not to judge. Everybody's so quick to judge, and everybody's so quick to say the word no, not for me, no, not for me, no, not for me. They don't give people a chance, really. Nobody's giving anybody a chance, and they're like judging so quickly, and nobody's being present. It's about, immediate gratification. What is this person giving to me now? I'm changing people's mindset. Be open, because you don't know, your soulmate could be sitting in front of you. You don't know. So be open. You need to go out with somebody more than one time, and you can't just be so dismissive. I mean, you have to, and I think the people that are more patient, they tend to connect. It's just that everybody's looking for something now. It's like they need to have that feeling right away. They need to, it's again, it's immediate gratification, and we have to change that mindset. People have to come with a more mature mindset.
Yeah, but when you talk about mature mindset, it's really the practicalities of life, I think. People think, is it love at first sight or is it something that's nurtured?
It's really something that's nurtured. I mean, love is something that I teach people, you need to come to a relationship to share, not to take. And if people have the mindset that you're coming to a relationship, what can I give? What can I build? What can I build with this person so we can have a life together where we can really make a difference in the world? If you're coming with a higher, more mature mindset, you'll have a successful relationship, and love will grow. Again, it's a mindset that needs to be changed. And the generation, this especially the younger generation, they don't really understand that. And it's not really their fault. It's the fault of all the social media, and the messages they're getting are not pure, and they're actually incorrect. So I feel it's my job to correct that consciousness.
So, Rachel, when you talk about correcting the consciousness, is there a sweet spot of age that you're finding, or is it all over the map in terms of who's coming to you for a match?
I would say it's really all over the map, but lately it's been like a lot of people in their 30s. So, when the younger set, they're turning 30, it's 32, 33, they haven't been married yet. They don't have, they want to have kids and they're wondering what's going on. The 20s, like, it didn't work. They've been on all these apps. They're not going out on any dates anymore. And what are they doing? So they're coming to me because they need a new strategy. It's that set. And then I have the older set that's, 50 on up, and then they're looking not necessarily to be married, but a long-term committed relationship. And they're starting to worry because they feel they don't want to spend the rest of their life alone. And they realize that, being in a relationship is more satisfying, it's more fulfilling to share experiences than, live your life alone.
Do you have an experience you could share with us that was a successful match?
With someone older?
Well,
Or you're
yeah, that's
talking
fine.
about Yeah, I'm just thinking of an older gentleman, actually. His wife died, actually, which was very, very, very sad. And so, we spoke, we he didn't sign he actually he didn't sign up with me for actually like a few months or so, but we were just talking on the phone. I was just really being a friend. I was coaching him. And then this is crazy because the first person that I fixed him up with, he's been going out with either he's not looking to get married right away, but he's been going out with her now for a long time. So that was very successful. And that I feel like definitely, when you see things like that happen, that it's like, I feel like honestly, I don't want to take the credit. And when people are like, thank you, thank you, I feel almost embarrassed because I feel like I'm not doing anything. I just thought this person was the right person and that was that. So, I just
I
say,
think
thank God. I say, thank God, thank God.
bringing people together, I think, is a great gift. And you have a gift that you're really sharing with the world by doing these matches.
I feel very grateful.
Is there any other kind of advice you can give both to men and to women to be able to be open and be able to develop a relationship once you make the match? Because you said you do coach them. What do you coach somebody with? Advice. What kind of advice?
Like as I was saying, coming to a relationship to share. I mean, what can I give? What can we build together? And also not to become physical too quickly because I feel like that usually short circuits a relationship. I encourage people to take the time to get to know each other, not rushing for everything and rushing for the end. It's just people, I tell people you need to enjoy the present. So the present is a gift. That's why it's called the present. So we need to not think about what's going to happen, what's going to be. Stay now, enjoy your life, enjoy the journey. They're missing so much by not being present. And the people that are, they have such much more enjoyable relationships. And things do tend to work out with those people. But when everybody's looking toward the future and everything quick, 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 and especially, like I said, the physicality, and it's not about morals, it's not about, religion. It's nothing to do with that. It just has to do with taking your time to get to know someone. And I explaining that, a physical expression is a manifestation already of your feelings. So when you're with somebody physically, you're manifesting the feelings that you already have and, feeling in your man and love and a friendship, let's say, even to start with that. But when everybody's rushing everything so quickly, it's like a, it's a light bulb that just short circuits. It's like a very, very like sharp light and then it's out. And I encourage people, and I use the example of the light bulb. Just think of a light bulb with, a plus and minus, and you have the filament and you have that current that runs steadily, the current. And but you don't want that fast, just short circuit break. You don't want that. You want to avoid that. So.
When I think about, bringing people together, this is a time of such strife in the world, and the comfort you bring to people. Do you ever think about what you've done for people that has been life-changing?
Well, as I said, I'm not even like trying to be humble, but I just feel like it's not really, I feel like it's really God and I feel like I'm the channel, not to get too overly spiritual or religious on you, but I really do feel that. It makes me happy. It brings me a lot of joy, because I feel like we aren't meant to be alone, none of us. And I do have the strong desire to grow the Jewish community and to fight assimilation and fight anti-Semitism. And by bringing, a man and woman together, or two Jewish women or two Jewish men, we are building the community.
Well, you are doing God's work, I believe, right here on earth. And I've been delighted to be talking with Rachel Brown, the founder and CEO of Jewish Matchmaking New York. What a great place to be, right?
That was
And to have you here
fantastic.
with us. So have a wonderful, joyous year and congratulations, and may you make many marvelous matches.
Amen. Thank you so much, Vicki. Thank you.
Until next time, this is Victoria Schnepp signing off to our power woman. Bye now.